Hare Krishna. Here in Budapest, and just getting ready to go to a radio interview. So this may be a little short. This morning I gave Bhagavatam class, and by the way, it's very beautiful, typical Hungarian spring, very attractive, nice weather, all the trees and flowers are budding, apple blossoms, cherry blossoms everywhere, things are green, certainly a real respite from cold, white, frozen winter. Back to Bhagavatam class. I'm, as mentioned earlier, planning to go forward on Uddhav Gita and lecture on that, but I'm not ready as yet. While in India, I had to spend quite a bit of time finishing my latest book and also going back and forth on the editing of it, which for the most part is complete, almost. And once that's done, then before embarking on the next writing project, I'll prepare my notes, or at least the first phase of notes on Uddhav Gita, and then start giving class on them. But today, we're talking from the sixth canto, and this was the demigods, upon Lord Brahma's advice, approaching the Brahman, Vishwarup, to become their guru, really to become their priest. Having been ousted from the heavenly planets, they needed the spiritual powers of a powerful personality to regain heaven. And so, although the word guru is being used throughout here, Srila Prabhupada makes clear in one of the purports that we read today that according to the type of achievement one aspires for, one accepts a particular type of guru. Now, often for us, the guru has connotations of being spiritual master. In Vedic culture, anyone whom one learns from and is taught by comes under the category of guru. Mother is guru, father is guru, Dronacharya is the Astra guru of the Pandavas. If you want to learn Ayurveda, you approach an Ayurvedic guru. If you want to learn architecture, you approach someone who's a guru in Shilpa Shastra, and so it goes on. We may question, well, why not just use the word teacher, as for instance we do in the West, rather than the word guru, which has it's a generic term, which has very serious implications, especially when in relationship to spiritual master. Why not differentiate? And of course, there is differentiation made between them, but at the same time, there's a commonality. And that commonality is there because guru, or one whom one receives knowledge from, whatever that knowledge is offered, is meant to be offered proper respect. Practically speaking, as we sing in the morning, Sakshad Hari Trina Samasta Shastra, as one would offer respect to the Supreme Lord. Why? Well, because originally all knowledge, whatever branch of knowledge we're talking about, comes from the Vedas. Srila Prabhupada describes that in the part of the first canto where it's described how Vyasadeva divided the Vedas and gave them to different disciples who then further subdivided and subdivided and so on. And so all branches of knowledge that we have at the present time come into existence, whether it be music or architecture or whatever. Unfortunately, of course, as with everything else, or even more than everything else, more than spiritual knowledge, material knowledge has become also very much corrupted, and its real source has become lost. And so has the process of acquiring knowledge. But originally, because knowledge comes down from the Supreme Lord, it all comes down from the Vedas, it's all divine, whatever its subject matter may be, therefore respect must be shown to knowledge. And respect should not only be shown to knowledge, but it should be shown to the person who gives us that knowledge. So what does someone who has nothing, who's in the position of receiving, give to a superior person? Well, he gives them the personal qualities that he has. He gives them respect, honor, deference, and so on. And so these are the qualities or traits that mark not only the process of teaching in Vedic culture, but entire Vedic culture itself, which, if we really think about it, is just meant for one thing. It's meant for teaching and learning. Life is meant to perfect oneself and go back home, back to Godhead. One may need to acquire some material skills for that, and therefore is taught by a guru in that department. But ultimately, life is all about learning. And so the display of respect of one living entity to another then is very prominent in Vedic literature. Even I'm reading, or at least I was writing this book, which is based on what I'm reading, the conversation between Durvasa Muni and Lord Narayan. And interestingly enough, although Durvasa Muni was an aparadi, he was a impersonalist, committed great offense to Ambarish Maharaj, and the Lord made it very clear to him what his position was. But nonetheless, he always addresses him in very respectful terms, "O great Brahmin," and so on. So we see that Srila Prabhupada also in his approach to when he's giving classes, when he's translating, then he always uses these similar terms, "Oh, my dear sir," and so on. So respect is there, and that respect is very important. Why is it so important? Why is it so important? It's important because showing respect is both a sign and a means to cultivate humility. Without cultivating humility, ultimately one cannot achieve the goal of life. And not only can one not achieve the goal of life, but even in the matter of material science, even the in learning or acquiring some particular skill, unless someone is really surrendered and humble, although one may get the information, one will not necessarily receive the realization or the means to perfect that learning that one has had. An example is of Ashwatthama. No doubt that Dronacharya had his weak spot for Ashwatthama, and he was his son. So he gave him the Brahmastra. But because he didn't trust in Ashwatthama, so he didn't really give him, teach him the full gamut of how to actually retract it. In other words, Ashwatthama didn't really, because his attitude was not correct, therefore he didn't really have a full realization of this particular weapon. But Arjuna, who was fully surrendered to Dronacharya, he received the same mantras, but he knew how to withdraw the weapon. So why did he know how to withdraw the weapon? Because he was an ideal student. And so when Ashwatthama finally did release that Brahmastra, Arjuna was the one who had to, literally speaking, save the universe from the expanding effect of that weapon. As we often quote, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Tinadapi Sunicheva, Taroreva Sahishuna, Amanina Manadina Kirtaniya Sadahari. If one really wants to perfect chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, if one wants to attract the attention of the Lord, humility must be there. Without humility, one will not be successful in any material endeavor or in spiritual life. So, therefore, respect is the hallmark of Vedic culture. Hare Krishna.